B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Was Sunday about talent?
No, it was about lack of execution. I mean, I outlined 10 different plays. If Cam makes one better decision or one quicker decision, the Patriots might win the game. He makes a lot more of those. They probably win going away. A lot of those plays were nice calls from Josh McDaniels, guessing what the Broncos were going to do, and that's the role of the offensive coordinator. Some of that stuff was just the Broncos playing zone behind some pressure, and so they were just natural openings. They are very limited, the Patriots. I mean, Damier Bird is fast, but he's not fast. They get nothing out of the tight end. Devin Asiasi was probably wide open about six times in this game, and they just don't even look his way. I don't know what that's all about, that you don't even throw the ball to the kid. And they don't really – Edelman was fine. I did not find any evidence of him sort of giving up or anything in this game, but he is limited. N'Keal Harry is playing boundary X, a number one sort of receiver, when he's really a number three or four at this point. So they are limited in terms of what they had to throw to. There's no question about that.
So again, the talent is the talent, but that doesn't explain Sunday. Guys were open and Newton couldn't get him the ball. Bedard looked at it. You go look at the All-22. Hard to tell in the game copy, and I didn't watch it a second time. But just watching it the first time, and we all saw it, right? Newton holding the ball and holding the ball and holding the ball. And you just assume no one's open because your receivers suck. So, like, of course, no one's open. It's not his fault. Go back and watch it. Guys, we're open.
You know what I would love to see in this game if someone looks it up? The average time that Newton held the ball before he released. Usually there's that 2.5 second rule or whatever the hell it is, right, that the ball comes out in a couple of seconds. I bet you this one was 3-ish because he held the ball, man. There were some of those plays where you look at and you count and you say that's more than 3 seconds. The ball did not come out, and their whole offense is predicated on that. Get rid of the ball.
So issue being that it really started before – it started in the Oakland game, excuse me, the Vegas game, according to Bedard. But, you know, then it shows up again on Sunday. So you can't just blame the lack of activity, although I'm sure it was a factor. But it really sort of started before that. So what direction is Cam Newton headed in? And again, with the limited – again, the talent is limited. He's got to throw these guys open. He's got to trust it. He's got to have the time. He's got to have it. And if he sort of lost it somewhere along the way, teams aren't going to let him run. Like that, I think we saw coming. You could easily see that coming. You know, other than Lamar Jackson, which may be happening to him too this year, by the way. That running quarterback, you can take it away. All it takes is coaching and, you know, an extra guy down there and run blitzing, and you can do it to anyone. So all these quarterbacks have run into it. So Cam Newton's running into it. Denver run blitzes him, doesn't let him, you know, do his running thing. And then it's up to him to find his receivers. We blame the receivers for getting no separation, except in this game, there was actually separation and Newton didn't get him the ball.
I mean, it's a scary question. If you take the running out of it, what is this guy?
Here, give me another Bedard. Give me Bedard one there, Jimmy, if you could, please.
Cam Newton. He just, this is now the second game in a row. Same thing against the Raiders where he struggled for stretches and really he played poorly in that game where he's just not seeing the field well enough. He's not seeing open receivers. He's not making decisions quickly enough, and it's cost the team. It didn't against the Raiders. They got away with it, but it did in this game, and that's where I start with what's going on with this team.
So you saw guys open and plays to be made, and he couldn't pull the trigger.
The worst play was the sack that he took. Second and 10 at the Denver 24, that last sequence before they lost the game on downs there.
Huge sack. Put him in third and 16. Go ahead.
It was huge, and Damier Bird was wide open on a slant in the middle of the field. He saw him. He pumped or, you know, pulled the trigger. Was going to pull the trigger. He didn't for some reason. I don't know if somebody flashed in front of his eyes. I didn't see it on film. But Bird was wide open from the start. The Broncos had a bust in coverage. If he hits him, there's a chance he scores a touchdown there. He doesn't even throw the ball. He could have thrown it in two different windows to Bird. He didn't do it. It reminded me of the miss to Edelman in the Seahawks game, where that throw that he missed to wide open Edelman on a skinny post in that game, that was their best chance to win the game. That was really the play that they could have won the game on, and he didn't make it.
Okay, so Greg saw guys open. The thing about, I still want to put this in a separate category than losing the game. So let's say he was as bad in this game as he was against the Raiders, or it was similar. You still won that game going away. Why? Because you made plays elsewhere. The opponent puked on himself.
I was just going to say the Raiders hurt themselves.
I'm not even surprised that Newton was rusty or off rhythm. That I can accept too. I still expect you to win the game though. I still expect you to find a way.
Well, you know what the difference was here? Denver didn't make those mistakes until very, very late.
Until late, and then it was not enough. Too late.
Well, they fumbled once, and they got it back. And
No, their last three possessions, quarterback fumbled, interception, next possession, one play, interception.
Right, and they only had two penalties on the day. The Broncos did. I think there were only three accepted penalties in the whole game, right? So, the Patriots had 1 for 4, and the Broncos had 2 for 10. So Oakland committed all those stupid penalties. Oakland turned the ball over, and I'm sorry, Vegas, I can't help it either. But Denver's mistakes didn't come till real, real late. And by then, they were already down 15, the Patriots were.
Okay, so a lot of people want to go to the weapons and the players, and certainly the talent on offense isn't great. And Bedard today wanted to go to Newton, which wasn't good, and that should be a concern. It still doesn't, to me, explain the whole thing. The kind of lethargy of that team, and again, we spent a lot of time on it yesterday, so we won't belabor it today. Some of the coaching sort of spoke to it as well. Not on the ball with the replays, not on the ball with that accepted penalty and letting McManus kick that field goal. It felt like the coaches were sticky too, if you will. And that's sort of that's still the top thing on my list. Newton, your talent blows, and Newton could have sucked. You still should have won the game. You still should have beaten them. You're still that much better than Denver. Denver could end up 4-12 this year, something like this. Because I think Fangio's that bad. And it, as proven by the way they handled the end of that ball game. So I think that team is porked. So you might have, just lost to a 4-win team or something like that. So anyway, there's your reset on what the big boy had to say. Let's go back to your phones. Here's Scott in the car on the Pats and the Niners this week. What do you think, Scott?
Hey, so we've spoken ad nauseum about Belichick's ineptitude at drafting receivers, from DK Metcalf to A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel. Another one this weekend, that's Brandon Ayuk. He was drafted 2 picks after the initial Patriots first-round draft pick this last year. So that's something. Number 11 is somebody to look at.
No, I've seen him.
Ayuk.
Yes. So this could be another guy. People are not just holding the receivers last year picked after Harry against Bill. We're now going to this year where we see the kid in Pittsburgh or this kid in San Francisco and say, well, here are more guys who are drafted low. Where was Ayuk drafted?
He was
second.
Yeah.
So guys who are drafted again after Harry's position the next year and putting that on the list against Bill.
Well, Ayuk is the actual good wide receiver from Arizona State, unlike N'Keal Harry.
Oh, God, imagine that. And I'll tell you.
No, he was a first rounder, 25th overall.
Okay, so this is those guys are going to decide the game this week. Bill's not going to let Kittle run around like crazy. No way. And
good point.
And my guess is they're going to try to stop the run because Shanahan wants to run first, which means what? The DBs are going to be on the receivers one-on-one. So your secondary should be able to cover their wide receivers.
Okay, so during the 10-question segment, I came up with a whopper. I don't know what got into me, but I just...
feeling cheeky, huh?
I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the Tubin story that, again, just... So I asked the panel, which NFL coach's wife do you feel the most sorry for? Who they have to come home to this guy every night. And again, I think Mrs. Patricia bears a tremendous, tremendous burden, thoughts and prayers on so many levels to Mrs. Patricia. Not just the physical situation there, but he's also an insufferable douche. It's like a double whammy. So anyway, that spawned some people want to weigh in. The gals mostly want to weigh in. So Shelby in Woburn, who would you at least like to marry in the NFL?
Oh, you guys did not think of Greg frickin' Williams. That temper? Forget it. Forget it. I don't know if he's married, but stay away.
Yeah, he's a D coordinator, but fine. We'll allow for it. There's two different things. There's not passing the naked test, of which there's several coaches, But then there's, he passes the naked test, but you got to go home to that insufferable a-hole. Like, could you imagine being John Harbaugh's wife?
Oh, my God, please. I mean, he's not a bad-looking dude.
No, no.
But no, he's got to be, like, brutal to live with.
Passes the naked test. Yeah. But, oh, my God, the kvetching, the bitching and moaning on a daily basis.
Complain about everything.
Oh, my goodness. Thoughts and prayers to Mrs. Harbaugh as well.
I told you I didn't like it, but sauce.
Greg Williams has been married twice.
Morty and Winthrop. Go ahead, Morty.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, Morty.
Yes, I just wanted to question you. This whole thing, you've always been Bill. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Bill over Tom.
That's right.
It's always been Bill's the person to go to. I just kind of find it odd. You're like the third side of a pancake on a lot of these issues. You like to dance along the line until you find a single game where I personally think it's all about the execution. Cam did terrible. The team did terrible. I think Bill and the coaches can only put so much together for these guys. In the end, the players got to play. They're the ones who have to execute it and get it done, and clearly they couldn't. Denver was trying to give that game away.
Okay, so what you're saying to me is you want me just to defend my take even though the facts on the field don't warrant it.
Nope. I do have a question. Nick, tell me one other coach you believe in the NFL that would have done a better job given the same exact situation.
Mike Vrabel. Done it already. He's done it. Mike Vrabel.
You can't defend your stance. I'm just saying I get it. It's 1 week. It was a bad look by everybody. I just don't know how much of this I want to pin on Bill. And then when he does talk, it's awful. The mumbling, the groaning. And then he actually does want to talk. And that's borderline. Yeah.
Morty, I just have this awful habit of calling it like I see it. So I'm sorry. Yes, I think Bill was more important than Brady. And I've chosen Bill over Brady. But he did not have his team ready to go on Sunday. So what do you want me to do? Say that I didn't see that? That wasn't obvious? That Bill did not have his team ready to go? Just to defend the take? Then I'd be like everybody else. I can't. I'm a slave to the truth and the facts.
You're above it all.
I am. I could wallow in the dirt with you guys, but instead I'm a slave to the actual facts and the truth.
Well, I hate to break it to Morty, but a pancake does have three sides. It does. The third side's a little thin, kind of like this one.
I didn't get the analogy.
Well, he says three sides of a pancake. You make one up.
I still don't get it.
Me either.
The pancake only has two sides in his mind, but in actuality, it does have three. It's a three-dimensional object.
Okay, I still don't get it.
Of course you don't.
Back with more after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Cam needs help. New England's last in the NFL in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. This was a Brady complaint. Now, Cam got real loose yesterday with his mechanics, and the offensive line was beat up. They have no vertical threat. That bird kid, that's not a starting receiver. This is the weakest receiving core in the NFL. N'Keal Harry appears to be a bust, can't separate. Edelman now, drops are contagious. Their best receiver is James White, the running back. They have no weapons. There's nothing to throw to. It's the weakness, the blind spot of the best football coach ever, Bill Belichick.
Colin Coward. Again, easy to go to the weapons. Easy. Because the receivers suck. That's obvious. And I'm not expecting Colin or anyone else to watch the coach's tape. That's why we have Bedard. That's why we bring in the big boy. He's got to watch all that crap. But then what do you see on it? And if you do see it, you'll see that their crappy, talentless receivers were actually open in this game. And Newton couldn't get him the ball.
That is. That's why we bring in the big boy. It's like putting the fridge in the backfield.
He's got to do the dirty work.
That's right.
Rich in the backfield. Poor guy. Back to your thoughts on everything. Sam in the car. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, guys. I just want to start by saying I'm a huge Pats fan, but I am worried by how they've been playing and the decisions that Bill's been making. not a very good trend. I know it's only a game or two, but if they keep that up, we are going to be one of those stupid loser teams if we don't wake up. So that's all I got, guys.
Okay. So I still trust his decision-making, but the give-in factor, and you brought up 95 in Cleveland, you know, you just would hate to think, because, you know, we've gotten on Bill for rewriting history there in Cleveland, which he did with this NFL Network special. Like, geez, Louise, you watch that thing, you think they had won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. So, like, yes, he overstates what he did in Cleveland. That being said, they were good in year 4, and that was the year they beat you, right? That was the year they beat you.
Correct.
And beat Bledsoe, Testaverde.
Yeah, 94,
yeah. Yeah, okay, so that was, I think that was his fourth year, and then they moved a month into the next season. And Bill was powerless against that. And he, I mean, again, I wasn't covering it closely in 1994, 95, but did he just give in there too? Did he use it as an excuse? He uses it as an excuse to this day, that I can tell you.
Well, so that's sort of what I took from it, is that he looks back at it and says, well, we were good the year before, you know, and then we got undermined because our owner moved the team, and he takes no responsibility for that season at all.
Is he laying the foundation for something similar with COVID?
Yeah, I bet you this season in a lot of ways reminds him of that. Like, and I don't know that. I'm just telling you that. I wouldn't surprise me if he said to people around him, yes, makes me feel like 95.
I mean, let's see.
Would it surprise you if he felt that way?
No, and I'm that's why I raised it. You know, I wonder if he's laying the foundation for an excuse for a bad year, which I would hate. What I want to see him is say, you know, okay, we've had our 2-week pity party. We've had our 2-week thing where we obsessed about something we can't control. Now it's back to controlling the things we can control. And we're going to go back to winning games.
I'm if like, he still said, had
that's
that,
a better story.
If he had that kind of mentality 25 years later, after all this success over the last couple of decades, that's just pathetic. I refuse to believe that.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's consistent with that type of personality, whether it's Bill or anybody else, which is you feel like you can't control it, so you give up.
We've got Brad in Northborough. Go ahead, Brad. You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
Hey, Felgy.
Okay, Brad, just going to have to walk to the corner of the room, pull over, do something. Your phone is not there. Carmine in Abington. Yes, Carmine. Carmine! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You obviously know the number. Aldo is in Ludlow. Hi, Aldo in Ludlow.
Hey, guys. I don't know if I should feel ashamed, but I agreed with everything you and Greg said earlier today. But I had to call because I thought I expected to see what I saw Sunday. I just didn't expect to see it while the great Coach Belichick was with us on the sideline.
Okay, so I'm with you on that. Yes, I'm with you on that. I thought you would be the team that overcame these distractions and overcame the COVID interruption. I thought you'd be the one team ideally suited to do it because that's pretty much what you've always done. You've overcome all those distractions. You had a freaking murderer on your team. They got indicted, or was he even indicted, or but arrested for freaking murder. You had a drug-addled, like, PCP-fueled mass murderer go through your locker room, and you brushed it off. And never mind cheating scandals, never mind whatever, all sorts of nonsense. And you've brushed it all off. So didn't you think they were just going to brush this off too? Or, you know, be able to keep the train on the tracks better than anyone else?
Yep.
I did. I gave you credit for something you didn't do yet, unfortunately. Rocco and Saugus. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, Mike. So listen, this week I'm doing better, obviously, because Brady won the way he won, you know. And I'm going to let my Tom Brady gorilla cojones hang free and rub it all over your ugly Wisconsin face, you, because all year I had
Rocco,
to hear
that
from you was.
Yeah, I don't think you can say that,
Rocco. I think we're going to, you know, we'll push the line. That one's over the line.
Oh, yeah, no, That's
no. Well over the line.
Yeah.
Okay. You can mention Jeffrey Toobin. You can mention that. You can get, you know, but you can't mention what you just mentioned.
You can even drop like a Tetley or Salado on me and I might half engage it.
I don't know what that means.
Well, those are companies that make tea.
Carmine, are you back? Are you there?
Hi, this is Carmine.
Hi, yeah. Carmine. Go ahead.
All right, so one thing that's really been bugging me that I haven't heard people talking about is about 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, there was the first down that was called short, and there was a decision or indecision to challenge that, and that cost you an entire offensive drive. in a close game. Just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, the part that strikes me about your calls, you said no one's mentioned that. We spent like
I was gonna be a complete jerk and say the same thing. Oh, geez, no. I didn't think of that.
I know we should mention that. Or maybe we've mentioned like 4,000 times over 2 days. It's all we've talked about, and we've used it to extrapolate all sorts of other things and draw all sorts of other conclusions just based on that one bad decision. We've obsessed over it for 2 days, so that's okay. That's like being in the middle of Deflategate and someone calling up and saying, you know, no one's ever mentioned, but you notice when you go to your car in the morning in the winter and the tire light's on?
Ideal gas law.
It's like, nope, you're the 4,000th caller on that, Carmine. Jim on Cape Cod. Hi, Jim. Go.
Hi, Pelican Maz. I know you won't remember this, but last spring I called and said Belichick is going to be like Tom Landry was at the end of his career. And I just think time has passed him by along with Robert Kraft. They should have put their money in a quarterback all these years. They should have taken care of Brady. Now they're left holding the bag, and they're going to have to pay for a quarterback next year.
Okay, Jim, we'll see about that. But coaches lose it too. They absolutely do.
I'm not ready to say, though, that Bill has lost.
I'm not calling that either.
Yeah. I mean, look, I didn't like the way things went this last couple of weeks either. And again, you said you throw a pity party. He sent out the invitations. That's the part that's annoying, is he sent out the invitations. He practically invited his team to get distracted by it when he said, you know, Robert's on board, I'm on board, we're going to call practice, you know. And I think he got out of the way, which is so unlike him. That since when does Bill remove himself from some of this? Yeah, you guys go ahead and do what you got to do.
Or maybe he's just realizing they're not that good. I saw this from Tom Curran tweeted this in a story yesterday. You know, they're 6-8 in their last 14 games.
Yes.
You know, so maybe
since starting last year, 8-0.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
They're 6-8. I don't know if those numbers add up, but since the undefeated start to last year, they're 6-8 in their last 14.
Yeah, they were 4-5 in the last 9 last year, and 2-3 this year.
So there you go. You did the math live on the air, which I begged you not to do.
I did it quick.
We're just going to go ahead and assume that Tom's right, 6-8. So is that just what they are?
So maybe it's not COVID. Maybe he realizes they're just not that great.
And now he's using COVID as the excuse. It's Art Modell moved us. What do you want me to do? We had a good team. We were ready to go. And, you know, it was a force majeure. It was an act of God. Art Modell's to blame. And this one, it's COVID or, you know, the small locker room in Kansas City, whatever nonsense. He's laying the foundation.
I'll tell you, though, the caller makes a good point about that challenge on White when he puts it in those terms. He said it cost him a possession, and he's right. I mean, they gave away that possession, which, you know, to me, you look at it and say, well, wait a minute. You know, so you do the math, and you look at the game clock, and you say 2 minutes on the game clock. Mike Vrabel took a penalty to save his team 40 seconds at the end of the game. Those extra couple of minutes, if you had held the ball and got down and scored, you tell me it wouldn't have made a difference at the end of the game?
Huge play, and they were asleep at the switch. One more segment of your wonderful phone calls. Right after Big Jim Murray's update, don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, quick question about your opponent. I've got the 49ers coming to town. Obviously, you know the quarterback very well, Jimmy Garoppolo. What have you seen of him on tape in the few years that he's now been in San Francisco? Do you see a very similar quarterback? Has he worked on some things? What are you seeing out of Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, well, I think we all know Jimmy's, you know, a quality player and all the things that a good quarterback needs to do. Led the 49ers NFC Championship last year. That's really, you know, we saw a little bit of him at the end of the year last year in preparation for this game. And of course, the 2020 games that he's played in. So I don't think there's any question about his skill level and what he's been able to accomplish and what their team's been able to accomplish. So we'll be ready for his best. I'm sure we'll get it. He's does a lot of things well.
All right, Maz, here we go. Jimmy week. Guess who's coming to town in the middle of
Jimmy
all this?
G, guess who's coming to dinner? Chicken parm, baby. Here we go. Maybe some gnocchi, little marinara sauce. We can do the seven fishes. Jimmy G coming to dinner. It's too bad Tom's not here.
What's the over-under on interceptions?
For who? Cam?
Garoppolo.
That's a two.
Okay, here's a question. We're going to do this tomorrow. So we're just going to here's a little
teaser.
Here's a little teaser for you. A little app for tomorrow's program. It's not a complicated question, but you have to think about it for a second. Would the Patriots be better off right now if they had given Brady his wish and let him go, traded him, after the Eagles Super Bowl? Remember, after the Eagles Super Bowl, he and G walked into Robert Kraft's home office there in Chestnut Hill and asked to leave, and Robert wouldn't give it to him.
They wanted out.
Okay, they wanted out. Would the Patriots be in better shape right now if they had let Brady walk after that Eagles Super Bowl and kept Jimmy Garoppolo? Now, you may have one less Super Bowl. I think if we're being fair, probably would have one less Super Bowl. I don't know if you win it that year. He could have beaten the Rams, but he couldn't have won in Kansas City, I don't think. So, never mind, get you to whatever, 12-4. So, you're giving back a Super Bowl, but you have Jimmy Garoppolo here as the next quarterback. Would you be in better shape if you had done that, Maz?
You want to answer this now or tomorrow?
Yeah, answer it, and then we'll discuss it for 4 hours tomorrow.
You'd be in better shape, yes. Absolutely, unequivocally, no question.
Murray, discuss.
I think you're in the same spot, and with one less Super Bowl, so I'm all set. I don't think he's very good. He was propped up by the coach and how he runs that offense in the Niners. This is his last season there. He'll be back here, I'm sure, unfortunately, much to my chagrin, where he will be exposed for what he is, and he's just not that great. He's like a lesser Tony Romo. So you would have one less Super Bowl, and you'd be in the same spot, so no, you would not be better off.
Don't you think he'd have been propped up by the coach here, too?
I mean, so he gets to polish him up a little bit, but at his heart, he's still what you saw with the game on the line in the biggest game of his life, where he misses Emmanuel Sanders by like 10 yards when you're up 10. So no, he still stinks at his core. So he'd be able to polish up and make you, what, you know, a little bit more competitive. You win a division here. You're not going to win a title with Jimmy Garoppolo. So no, same spot.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah, they're in better shape.
No question.
And I think that he's better here than with Shanahan. Like, the propping up, I think, has hurt him. You know, run, manage the game, run, manage the game, run. That's not how Bill treated him. When Bill was here, they ran the offense. And so I think Shanahan, in this effort to prop him up, Murray, or protect him, which clearly he does, he ends up hurting him. Garoppolo wasn't that guy here. Garoppolo ran the Brady offense. They threw it. And they didn't manage him or protect him or anything. And when he was it Eastern Illinois or wherever he was in college, he's one of those shotgun spread offenses where they're throwing 55 times a game. So I think Shanahan's actually set him back and hurt him. Because when he did have to win it with his arm, it's like he's petrified. Or, you know, he's turned him into some sort of running, you know, whatever, game manager, which is, I don't think, what Garoppolo is. I don't think he is a game manager. He's a little bit more of a gunslinger than a game manager. So I think they've kind of ruined him. I think he'd be in better shape if he were here. Belichick would get more out of him than Shanahan. That I know.
Well, see, so me, this is the part of the argument that always drives me bananas. Garoppolo sucks. Yeah, but what if Belichick had him? What if Belichick had him? It's in reverse. It's the same argument of what player has ever left here and done something.
Well, Belichick has Cam Newton right now. His Cam Newton look.
Okay, but the point is that Bill generally gets the most out of players, right? He generally does. In fact, he gets more than most. Like, he gets, you know, he gets every ounce of a guy's ability out of him most of the time. I mean, not always.
And let's see how this goes with Newton.
Sure. But I would say that, you know, so when a guy leaves and you say, well, what was he when he left? I don't care what he was when he left. Different system, different coach. I care what he was when he was here. And if they didn't replace him, then that's a loss. I don't care what the guy does anywhere else. If it works here, you keep the guy.
So it kind of worked, and then he got hurt because he's fragile.
Yeah, I don't know quite. But listen, the injury thing is real. I'm just, Murray, would you really rather have, you think Cam Newton and Jimmy Garoppolo are the same thing in Bill's offense?
Well, Cam Newton was an MVP, made a Super Bowl much like Garoppolo did, and crapped his pants in it just like Garoppolo did.
He was an MVP because of his legs. Because he, again, you take the running away from Cam Newton, which brings me back to Sunday. If teams start doing that, what is this guy?
Let's find out.
So what is he really? But like, I look at it and I say, to me, look,
Well, frankly, I never wanted either. I just wanted Bill to stop being a dick to Tom. He couldn't do that, so now he's in Tampa. So.
The long-term play was to keep Garoppolo. Bill wanted to do it that way, and he got overruled.
So this is basically the things that we talked about ad, you know, just ad nauseum at the time, coming home to roost, which is, do you forsake a little bit in the here and now, meaning a Super Bowl? You're sixth. Okay, you've got five in the bank, but do you give up the sixth for the guy for the next 10 years? Or are you? Would you rather have had those last 2 years with Brady? Now, you got a Super Bowl out of it. So, like, I mean, I don't blame you for saying I'd rather have the Super Bowl than where they are now, which is no quarterback and no real plan, it doesn't feel like. So now, so this is like that whole situation coming home to roost. Now that you're on this side of it, now that we're here, was that sixth Super Bowl really worth it?
Well, see, all along, this was my greatest fear, was that you had a guy that could play in your system. Maybe not the guy, Murray. The guy. But maybe a guy that you could effectively plug into your system and just keep the machine running. I think you had that. And everybody acted like you could just pluck quarterbacks out of the draft now, or, you know, yank them right off a tree, prop them into the offense, and here you go. Just like you're picking fruit.
So you're saying by saying that, though, you believe he's special. Jimmy Garoppolo is a special player.
No, I think that he's good enough to win with Bill Belichick as his coach. That's what I believe. I think he's a good quarterback.
Yeah, so division titles, you know, you're competitive, you get into the playoffs.
You got to start there, Murray.
You're never going to win a title.
You got to start somewhere.
I mean, I know this sounds silly, but other than the Super Bowl, he's actually really good with the game on the line. He has been in his whole career. I mean, not just his win-loss record. Look at his performances in the fourth quarter of close games and whatnot. There's a bunch of stuff on it, Murray, if you wanted to look at it. He's actually been pretty good in that spot. Now, in the Super Bowl, he crapped his pants. And maybe that ruins him, and we'll never know. But I think I don't know. I think he would have won with Bill. I think he would have been a good guy for Belichick.
Look, the fact of the matter is, and I know we're going to get into more of this later in the week, that everybody acted like they could just find the next guy without a problem. The people who supported Brady and keeping Brady, and you know, no problem, Bill will find the next guy. It is easier to play quarterback in this league now than it ever has before, and right now it feels to me like they don't really have a quarterback.
And I'll tell you, the Stidham's a big part of this.
Absolutely.
If he had just reloaded with Stidham, and Stidham looked like a young Garoppolo,
then the Brady people win.
Then you would just say, well, this is what Bill's supposed to do. You let Garoppolo go, you win your Super Bowl with Brady, and you just pluck the next guy out of Eastern Illinois, or whatever. And if, you know, for a time there, it looked like Stidham, you know, Bill might have done that, which is like, okay. But if not, and now you're sitting here in no man's land with your Schmenzer in your hand and no quarterback and no plan, and you're not going to suck enough to draft a good one, and you're going to have to pay Newton or if he's, you know, like, et cetera. There's no plan. They're sort of in no man's land. This is sort of the, we're now here. We're now facing the reality of what we were looking at 2 years ago.
I told you, it's my greatest fear come to fruition. That all of a sudden, now here you are, you're trying to grasp at veteran quarterbacks, depending, you know, and again, Newton wasn't a plan. Newton was who left was left on the market. So now you're what? You're reaching in the draft, you're grabbing guys off the scrap heap. Here you go. You're trying to piece it together at the most important position in sports. I always thought that that was risky business. Always. So now, look, I don't know, maybe Garoppolo will suck. Maybe he'll, you know, get hurt again and he won't play because God knows he's missed a ton of games. All of which was true. All I know is this. With Belichick, it worked. And here's an important part of it, too. By the time they got to it, they had had him in the system for 3 years. I mean, by the time he played, it was his third season.
Just that thing, Murray.
There was a lot invested there, is my point. It's not like they just dropped him in there as a rookie.
I want to blame Shanahan for turning him into a jittery game manager. That's not what they did here. That's not what they did here.
We had a small sample size here. It was like 2.5 games or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, but okay, Bill handpicked Shanahan, Mike.
But all the more reason, right, to have him play just in the 2.5 games or 1.5 games, whatever it was, that he played here, they could have managed him like they managed Cam Newton for crying out loud in the first game, and they didn't. He wasn't the first series in Arizona he hit Hogan down the sideline for a long touchdown pass?
Yeah, on an alert.
Like, it's like...
You play in Arizona.
Well, but he...
He saw single coverage on the outside. He audibled into the play and threw a touchdown.
What I'm telling you is they just let Garoppolo play the Patriots offense. They didn't manage him. I don't think they did. I mean, I have to go back and look at it, but they sent him out there to throw the ball. And Shanahan is too scared of him, and I think has helped turn him into that. I mean, I don't know, but that's sort of piecing it back together.
But here's the other thing.
It's tomorrow's show.
You guys are all worked up about tomorrow. Garoppolo week.
Well, tomorrow, like, here we I told go. You, Murray, I wasn't joking. I got half the thing written at home. I'm not kidding.
Oh, I know.
Oh, no, no. I got it on my desk. I got stats right here, Murray. You're going to get them tomorrow, though. I'm not going to give them to you right now.
Oh, good. A blowing of stats.
You're going to have to wait until tomorrow. Here's the other thing. If
you want to save it for tomorrow?
No, just a quickie. Just a quick little question.
Go.
That will add to the discussion.
A quickie. They call it a tubing.
You can order a rejoin for it so we have it.
Go.
Okay? If Bill had kept Garoppolo, do you think he would have let the receiving core turn into what it turned into?
Let's answer that tomorrow, shall we?
Let's.
Meantime, because this is why I want to do this. 30 seconds, because it's all I care to hear about.
Okay, go.
30 seconds on 30. World Series. Go.
Dodgers are going to win. If they don't, they suck. Again, I'm giving you the capsule version. Nonetheless, I will say this, that I've been very relatively not engaged in this baseball season. It's the two best teams in baseball, and I'll tell you what struck me. They used to say 60 games was enough to get an idea who the good teams are in baseball, and this year you get the two best teams in the game. So why do we need 162? Why do we need it?
This is a bigger conversation.
Okay, it is. But I think there is a big picture takeaway from this season. For the series, the Dodgers just have too many horses. If they lose to Tampa, you know, one of the bottom three teams in the league in payroll, to a team that is stacked with superstars, oh boy, the Dodgers will never live it down. Never.
Okay, but you invested because you got something to root for or against. In which case is often more powerful than rooting for something. You get to root against the Dodgers and Mookie Betts.
Correct. Yep, I do, and I will be. I can guarantee you that. And in fact, even if the Dodgers win, as long as Mookie sucks, I'm a winner.
Okay, thus concludes our World Series coverage. We'll hit on it tomorrow if it's worth hitting on. Mostly, though, it's going to be Jimmy G. That's tomorrow. Coming up next is the final word.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nope. Why don't we do the email of the day right here, shall we?
Sure, yeah, let's do it.
It's the Moncast Email of the Day!
Dear Felga, I really hate you. And I think Maz is a boo. Really?
The Moncast Email of the Day!
Send one to Felger at 98.5.
Email of the Day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast. Just think Jeffrey Toobin. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. I'll never think of a Zoom call the same way, Maz. Learn more at Mimecast, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Very simple, short email from James. Subject line, big boy. Good God, I like this guy, but he never answers a question straight. End of email. No kidding.
I would say rarely.
So the Greg Bedard recap will come tomorrow. Hardy was not able to put it together today. He had affairs of state that superseded affairs of state. But we can just reenact it real quick.
Sure.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Question 10. Greg, fill in the blank. Ezekiel Elliott is?
Overrated.
Greg, three up, three down. Give me your second down.
Sure.
Wait, I had him for three minus. No, hold on. Wait a minute. I had him for two plus plays. Hold on.
Belichick.
The actual recap comes your way tomorrow. What else we got tonight?
Well, Doc Emmerich, of course, announced his retirement from the NHL yesterday, yes. Calling NHL games.
This is so good.
Doc, universally loved, right, by both fans and sports media members, except by one person.
Mm-hmm. Guess who?
The Vulture, Adam Jones, who gave a tribute of sorts to Doc Emmerich last night on his show.
Nothing makes it move more than handshakes. Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning. After 50 years, I am calling it a career. No more handshakes. And no more joy.
That's Doc Emmerich calling it a career.
I don't know if I just read this today or somebody sent this to me. I honestly can't remember. But people were going nuts in Sochi in 2014 because Doc Emmerich used, I think it was 143 different words to describe a pass. It's so stupid. He used all these different words. Instead of saying pass.
Oh, except, and he didn't ever use pass.
I don't know. Right? I might have actually used the word pass. I don't know. But ready? You want to hear? Angled. Banked. Blasted. Blocked. Bounce. Brought. Brought?
Blocked?
That's a good question. That's not really a pass.
It's not a pass.
It's a good point.
It's a different play.
Brushed. Carried. Chipped. Chopped. Cleared. Closed. Collared? Come? Yuck, Doc.
What?
Oh. Curled? Cut? Dealt? Deflected? Directed? Dished? Dropped? Drubs? Dumped? Dumped? Fed? Feet? Fitted? Like, all these words. Just say pass, Doc.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss. Right?
Seriously, what is this?
So John's very happy that Doc Emmerich's called it.
Don't forget the word skittered.
One person on the planet doesn't like Doc Emmerich, and we got him. And he's coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.